This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New sex trafficking charges. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka on this Tuesday, July 9. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A politically connected financier has been hit with a second round of accusations tied to underage girls. Jeffrey Epstein appeared in court yesterday.
President Trump's push to have pharmaceutical companies include drug pricing in their TV ads has been rejected by a judge.
California Congressman Eric Swalwell is the first Democratic presidential candidate to drop out of the crowded primary field.
And job creep may be growing at the office, but there are efforts to stop it.
Sometimes it's Sunday night, sometimes it's just a stray email on a Saturday morning as your boss or a colleague is just reaching out to you totally innocuously saying, no pressure, you don't have to respond to this until Monday, but I was just thinking that project you're working on next week, we should really blah, 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 and all of a sudden it sends workers into a tailspin.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kelsey G on Sunday night, being the new Monday morning for workers. She's here in about 20 minutes. Former asset manager Jeffrey Epstein has been indicted in New York on federal sex trafficking charges. Mr. Epstein, who's 66, pleaded not guilty yesterday. Federal agents searched his Manhattan townhouse after his arrest Saturday and say they found hundreds of nude photographs of young women, some of whom appeared to be underage. Jeffrey Berman is prosecuting attorney for the Southern District of New York.
Beginning in at least 2002 and continuing until 2005, Epstein is alleged to have abused dozens of victims by causing them to engage in sex acts with him at his mansion in New York and at his estate in Palm Beach, Florida.
Yesterday's indictment comes more than a decade after Mr. Epstein signed a non-prosecution agreement in Florida. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday called on Labor Secretary Alex Acosta to step down. He was a U.S. attorney in Miami who helped Mr. Epstein secure that plea deal. Critics say the agreement was too lenient because Mr. Epstein could have faced a life sentence and said he served about 13 months, most of it outside of his home. A federal judge is blocking a new rule from the Trump administration that would require drug companies to put prices in television ads. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
A U.S. district judge in Washington, D.C. sided with drug companies, saying the Health and Human Services Department rule would violate free speech and exceeded the authority that Congress gave the agency. The rule was part of President Trump's effort to lower drug prices and was set to go into effect today. It required list prices to be included in TV ads for most prescription drugs covered by Medicare and Medicaid. The administration said the goal was to increase transparency, which would put pressure on drug makers to keep prices low. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Trump administration argued that list prices matter to patients, especially those with high deductibles who often have to pay the full amount. The U.S., one of the few countries that allows ads for drugs on TV, requires drug makers, as you know, to disclose only things like side effects and other information. A controversial extradition bill in Hong Kong that sparked large and sometimes violent protests is dead. Chief Executive Carrie Lam said today that the government's work on the legislation had been a total failure. However, critics are accusing her of playing with words. The measure, which led to Hong Kong's biggest crisis in decades, would allow people there to be sent to mainland China to face trial. Lawyers and rights groups say China's justice system uses torture, forced confessions, and arbitrary detention. Ms. Lam promises to be a better listener.
We will listen more extensively to people from different backgrounds with different ideas so that we have a better grasp of public opinion.
Ms. Lam's announcement today didn't satisfy protesters because she stopped short of saying it had been withdrawn completely. It was suspended last month. Opponents want her to resign, but chief executives of Hong Kong are selected by a small committee of pro-establishment figures stacked in Beijing's favor. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. The Affordable Care Act became law in 2010, was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2012 and 2015, and has survived dozens of repeal efforts in Congress. So is it finally safe? Not yet. The latest threat looms in New Orleans, where a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit will hear 90 minutes of oral arguments today in a challenge that threatens the law's key features and possibly the entire thing. A preview from Rich Wolf, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today. Rich, set this up.
We are looking at the third major challenge, and there have been a lot more minor challenges to the Affordable Care Act since it was enacted in 2010. You'll remember that the Supreme Court upheld it in 2012. That was the famous vote by John Roberts that surprised a lot of people, that upheld the law on a 5-4 vote. They upheld it again in 2015 when a portion of the law was threatened that actually could have affected the entire law, and again, the court ruled, I think in that case it might have been 6-3 to uphold the law in 2015. So now we're in 2019, heading toward 2020, and a group of states led by Texas, all of them what we would call conservative states, states with Republican legislatures and governors almost entirely, are trying to dismantle the law once again, and the Trump administration is on their side. Even though the lawsuit is Texas versus United States, they're suing the United States because they're trying to strike down this law. And the reason they're doing it is that in 2017, after the Trump administration came in, the Republican Congress and President Trump enacted a tax break, a major tax cut for the country that included the elimination of the tax penalty that is in the health care law. You'll remember the main part of the health care law says you have to buy insurance. This doesn't work unless everybody buys insurance.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we're going to penalize you. The penalty was a tax. The tax is what John Roberts said was enough to uphold the law in 2012. And Congress eliminated the tax in the tax cut of 2017. And so basically Texas and these other states, with the United States backing them, are saying, well, without any tax penalty, there really is no individual mandate. There's no teeth left. And so the individual mandate is therefore unconstitutional. And without the individual mandate, they say, the whole rest of the law kind of collapses because that's the centerpiece of the law. So a district court judge last December agreed with them and declared the entire law unconstitutional, but stayed that decision pending higher courts. In New Orleans, which is where the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is based, that appeals court, a three-judge panel of that appeals court, is going to hear the next stage in this argument about dismantling Obamacare.
We're speaking with Rich Wolf, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled Affordable Care Act Threatened as Trump Administration and GOP States Fight the U.S. House and Democratic States in Court. It does seem at times that it comes down to like the semantics or intention, right, of just a couple of key phrases in what's almost a 1,000-page law, right?
Right. I think the Reed O'Connor, the judge, the district court judge who struck the law down in his December ruling, said, you know, I'm looking at what the intentions are of the two Congresses. The Congress of 2010, which you'll remember was a Democratic Congress that upheld the passed the law originally. And then I'm also looking at the 2017 Congress, which was a Republican Congress, which passed the tax cut that included doing away with the tax penalty in the law. And he basically said, on the one hand, you had a Congress that wanted this law, but on the other hand, you had a Congress that didn't. They dismantled the last leg that this law was standing on, was the tax penalty. You pay a penalty if you don't get insurance. Well, if there's no penalty, there's nothing to cause anybody to get insurance. Why would they, he reasons, if there's no penalty for not getting it? And once you don't have insurance, the pre-existing conditions protections collapses because that depended on people getting into the pool, into the insurance pool, et cetera, that it's sort of a cascade of things that don't work in the law if there is no individual mandate and tax penalty for those who don't buy insurance. So, yes, he's looking at the intentions of the 2010 Congress and the 2007 Congress, and now we've got this three-judge panel in New Orleans that's going to look at the same thing.
That's your scorecard out. Rich Wolf, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in a federal judge has blocked a Trump administration regulation that aimed to reduce prescription drug prices. The judge ruled that the administration does not have the authority to require drug makers include their prices in TV ads. While President Trump vowed to lower pharmaceutical prices last year amid public outcry, the judge's ruling came one day before the disclosure rule was set to go into effect. Drug makers fought the rule with a lawsuit. The judge says the responsibility to control spiraling drug costs rests with Congress, not Health and Human Services. Attorney General William Barr says he sees a way to legally require 2020 census respondents to declare whether or not they are citizens, despite a Supreme Court ruling that forbade asking the question.
We've been considering all the options, and I've been in constant discussions with the president ever since the Supreme Court decision came down. And I think over the next day or two, you'll see what approach we're taking. And I think it does provide a pathway for getting the question on the census.
Barr would not detail the plans, though a senior official said President Trump is expected to issue a memorandum to the Commerce Department instructing it to include the question on census forms. Lower than expected tax revenue now means there is a significant risk that the federal government will run out of borrowing authority in early September. That's according to a new analysis by the Bipartisan Policy Center, a Washington think tank and advocacy group. The report adds urgency to Washington budget and debt talks that have yet to go anywhere. The group says tax revenue is persistently weaker than anticipated. With just a couple dozen swings of his bat, New York Mets rookie Pete Alonso has nearly doubled his salary. The slugger cleared the fences with 23 homers to win the home run derby last night in Cleveland.
This means so much. I mean, there's a lot I was playing or hitting for tonight. I'm just so happy that I could. I'm just so excited.
The winner earns Alonso a $1 million prize. That's why he's excited, which is huge compared to his first year big league salary. The All-Star game is tonight.
It's impressive. I think he said he's donating 5% of to the Wounded Warriors Project also.
Good for him.
Seems like a good guy, which is strange that he's on the Mets. So dysfunctional. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. The proliferation of smartphones and workplace communication apps has created unrealistic expectations of how easily and often workers should be able to switch from personal to professional tasks. It's known as job creep. And workplace experts say it's become a prime contributor to burnout. What's being done about those late night or weekend emails from the boss? Here's Kelsey G., management reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Kelsey, what are we seeing?
So we were looking at this trend of emails and work really starting over the weekend. Sometimes it's Sunday night. Sometimes it's just a stray email on a Saturday morning as your boss or a colleague is just reaching out to you totally innocuously saying, no pressure, you don't have to respond to this until Monday, but I was just thinking that project you're working on next week, we should really blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden it sends workers into a tailspin where an email chain is now like 7 or 8 replies long and you can't pay attention to like the meal that you're at with your family or the activity that you're at with some friends. And it's really driving so many employees crazy.
Well, the blessings and curses of technology. I thought it was funny. The one boss who had sent some emails said, hey, how come you guys are responding to me, in these off hours, right? And they're like, duh, you're the one who sent
because you're the one who's sending it, and you're my boss. And if you're working at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night, then it feels like I should be working too. And that's the thing that I think a lot of managers that I spoke to for this story didn't realize until someone called it to their attention, that you really set the tone as a manager often. And so if you're working around the clock, because you have this flexibility, you know, that we never had before in the workplace of being able to check your email on your phone, so on the train or, you know, at your kid's soccer game, then it really encourages other people to do the same thing.
How widespread is this, where a boss legitimately would expect you sometime between, Friday night, I guess, and Sunday night to respond and or do something?
So we only really have anecdotal evidence that this is on the rise based on the folks that we were talking to and the surveys that we've looked at, which shows something like 80 or 90% of working adults face this phenomenon of the Sunday scaries or this feeling of dread in anticipation of the work week starting on Sunday night. They feel this spike of adrenaline and nerves knowing what's about to come. But it's widespread enough that in New York City last year, a legislator introduced a bill to ban employers from sending text messages or work email over the weekend or on off business hours and to require their employees respond to those things.
Thanks, Kelsey. Kelsey G., management reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us and welcome into Tuesday, July 9. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New sex trafficking charges for financier Jeffrey Epstein. A tropical depression in the Gulf could turn into a hurricane. Researchers say more than 1,000 Android apps are collecting data on you, even when you've denied them permission. Saturn will be visible to the naked eye tonight, but you'll need a telescope to see her rings. Free food promotion at Chick-fil-A today, but you have to dress like a cow. And a California lawyer survived being gored in the neck during the running of the bulls in Spain. He apparently tried a selfie. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's Black Friday in July is back. Save big on business computers with Intel Core processors, plus servers and electronics. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business. On the eastern plains of Texas, local leaders are trying to stop the bleeding of talent to the bigger cities. They're sprucing up downtown, completing 10 miles of walking trails, investing in parks and schools, and making other improvements they hope will entice young workers to stay and help that part of the state finally claim a share of what's called the Texas Miracle. Few parts of America have nurtured faster job growth than Texas in the years since the 2008 financial crisis, but that growth has largely left cities like Longview in the dust. Is there a balance to be struck, or is that interfering? It's a story by Jim Tankersley, economic policy reporter at the New York Times. He visited the area. Jim, what'd you see there?
Texas, of course, boomed in the wake of the Great Recession, but that most of the job and business creation that happened was really concentrated to four places: Austin, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio, and that everybody else kind of missed out.
Is that standard operating procedure? I mean, you named, I think, what are probably four of the top 10 largest cities in America, too, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, what we're looking at here is sort of a pronounced example of a big national trend, which is that large metropolitan areas are really disproportionately, compared to history, capturing the fruits of economic growth in America over the last decade or so. What's happened is that basically talent and investment is flocking to big cities, And so they are the ones adding jobs. They are the ones adding businesses. They are the ones adding people. And while I've written about more of these sort of longer trends in the past, but what has happened before was that, you know, a much wider swath of America would see job growth and business growth when times were good. Now you see these sort of superstar, they're called, areas capturing most of that. And even within those areas, it's some very concentrated, like very high-end zip codes, really a case of the rich getting richer. And it's true across the country. It is actually particularly true in Texas. And that's why we wrote this story, because I think that was surprising to me and to a lot of folks.
And why does this happen? Is it sort of... is it a snowball effect, basically?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we're still sort of sorting out everything that's happened, but as you have this sort of rise of the service-based economy in the United States, we do less of making things and more of just doing things for each other and getting paid for it. That advantages a certain type of worker that appears to want to cluster in a certain type of environment. And so I guess the sort of very shorthand way of saying it is you get particular, like, young, call them engineers who graduate from college, who all kind of want to live around each other in hip neighborhoods in, like, Austin or Dallas, and so the businesses follow them, or you have a big concentration of businesses that they all want to work for. Either way, it's a cycle that repeats and builds on itself, and so you just end up with this massive buildup kind of snowball effect.
We're speaking with Jim Tankersley, economic policy reporter at the New York Times. His piece is called "The Texas Miracle Missed Most of Texas." So is this bad to have these concentrations of talent, as you mentioned, Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, or is it? Do experts say it's problematic because of the gap between these cities and some of the smaller ones that have not done well?
I think there's two reasons why I would call it worrisome. The first is, I mean, I'm a small town kid myself, and I think that small town America should be vibrant, that it's an important part of our national fabric, and that for not just economic reasons but cultural reasons, it's good to have this sort of more places doing well as opposed to just a few places. Resentment can grow. There's just a lot of political, economic, social instability things that can happen when you have large parts of the country that feel like they are dying or treading water, and then other parts that look like they're rocketing ahead. But I think economically, the other thing that we worry about is that, like, it gets very expensive to live in these big places. So it's actually harder to be sort of to hold on to the middle class if you're, you're moving to a city for a good job, but every year your housing costs go up 10%. And that is often the case. It's less of a worry in Texas, frankly, than in, like, California, where housing prices have just gone through the roof in places like San Francisco. But it's still a real worry, and we are seeing house price appreciation in Austin and Dallas that are faster than we would have expected historically for them.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Tankersley, economic policy reporter at the New York Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it didn't take long for the rivalry among basketball fans in Los Angeles to heat up. Kawhi Leonard, who spurned the Lakers to sign with their arena mates, the Clippers, has been banned from a local coffee chain. For good measure, Paul George, who was traded to the Clippers to join Kawhi, was also banned by Alfred Coffee. The chain made the announcement and promised more details were coming. Now, even if the ban is meant to be tongue-in-cheek, it hasn't stopped Clippers fans from getting riled up about it. Yahoo Sports says fans bombarded Alfred Coffee's Instagram page with comments complaining about the ban, forcing them to turn off comments on at least two posts.
Wow.
This is an interesting business move here, Gordon, because we've seen this before, right? Where, you know, an athlete leaves for another team and then, you know, and then they get banned from, you know, a particular place in that city, but they usually go to a different city. Like, you're not within the same city, right?
Right.
So you're banning Kawhi from going to your establishment, but, you know, a lot of Clippers fans are normally would probably go there. So it's kind of a strange situation here.
Well, if nothing else, it's publicity.
Well, sure.
Right. We're talking about Alfred Coffee or, you know, the other joint. So it's
I guess so.
It's clever.
I guess so. And again, perhaps they're thinking that there aren't as many Clippers fans. Maybe the Clipper fan boycott is not going to dent their business
quite as much
as if they say, you know, angered the Lakers fans. That's just a guess on my part.
But I mean, it's so popular that they turn off comments on two of the posts.
Yeah, sure.
So you can't pay for that kind of publicity, I would presume.
I guess so. They're going to make out okay.
It's just coffee promotion and sports after all. This is not life or death.
I suppose so. We'll see. And we thought we were done, Gordon, with the ice cream licking story after the perpetrator of the viral crime was caught in Texas. But now we've apparently entered the copycat phase of the saga. This after an ice cream licker was arrested in Louisiana on Saturday after he was allegedly licking ice cream in a grocery store and putting it back in the fridge. According to Fox News, the 36-year-old man was taken into custody after video of him circulating online showed him doing the deed. The man appears to open a tub of ice cream, lick it, touch it with his finger, and then place it back on the freezer shelf. The man was charged with criminal mischief and unlawful posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity, and remained jailed as of yesterday morning. Meanwhile, the sheriff's office in Assumption Parish, Louisiana, where this has happened, is discouraging such copycat acts, saying it's illegal. It's a health risk to others. We will pursue anyone we see do this. You will be charged.
So bizarre.
What's bizarre is that we're finding out that there's a whole section of the sort of crime, you know, statutes here that are actually pertain to this.
Yeah.
Like, you could be arrested for this. This guy was in jail for this.
Yeah.
This seemed like just a harmless little thing that this girl did, you know, in Texas a week or two ago, and now this has become a huge deal.
Right. That was a girl. Right. She was a minor.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a 36-year-old man.
Yeah. I mean, and
I guess it's the same though as like. You know, not to be graphic, but like if you're a server in a restaurant spitting in someone's food,
right?
It's the same thing. It's a public health risk here.
I guess so. Again, I didn't know arrest and, you know, and sort of being charged with major crimes was going to happen here for any of these incidents, but now we know.
It does make you wonder, like, if some of these stores, like, went back and looked at video surveillance for months on end. You know, has this been happening and it's just never been reported? Or
probably best that we don't do that, Gordon.
That's a good point, Mike. And let's maybe not find out about that.
Yes.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. If you felt the earth move this week, chances are you did not have earthquake insurance. For earthquakes, you must buy a separate policy from a private insurer, or if you live in California, you got to buy it from the state's California Earthquake Authority. What damage does insurance cover? USA Today put together a summary. Homeowners, condo, and renters insurance cover damage sustained from most perils, including tornado, hurricanes, severe storms, rain, wind, and fires. It also covers possessions inside the home. But damage from flooding and earth movement, which includes earthquakes, mudslides, landslides, and sinkholes is excluded from homeowners, condo, and renters insurance. Any theft or damage, though, done to your home by looters or vandals after a disaster is covered by your policy. And what about your car? Unlike homeowners insurance, your auto policy typically covers flood and earth movement. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Jeffrey Epstein has hobnobbed with some of the world's most powerful people during his jet-setting life. Now, the arrest of the billionaire financier on child sex trafficking charges is raising questions about how much his high-powered associates knew about the hedge fund manager's interactions with underage girls and whether they turned a blind eye to potentially illegal conduct. Michelle Licata is one of Epstein's accusers.
It was a comforting feeling seeing him just sitting, like, you know, handcuffed, and people asking him questions about his life and making him feel uncomfortable and uneasy.
The case is putting new scrutiny on Labor Secretary Alexandra Acosta. As U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, Acosta was involved in a secret plea deal that allowed Epstein to avoid federal charges in 2008. The fate of former President Obama's signature health care law and its coverage and insurance protections for millions of Americans is again being argued before a panel of judges. This time, time, a federal appeals court in New Orleans. At issue in a hearing scheduled for today is whether Congress effectively rendered it unconstitutional in 2017 when it zeroed out the tax imposed on those who chose not to buy insurance. The ultimate outcome will affect protections for people with pre-existing conditions, Medicaid expansions covering 12 million people, and subsidies that help about 10 million others afford health insurance. Dangerous flash floods hit the streets of Washington, D.C. during yesterday's morning commute, leaving drivers stranded on top of their cars and metro stations full of streaming water. The rain flooded the main power vault at D.C.'s National Archives, closing the building. The downpour also affected the White House basement. Instagram is rolling out new features to help combat cyberbullying as the social media company and its parent, Facebook, work to quiet criticism related to harassment on their platforms. One of the tools relies on artificial intelligence to determine whether language in a post could be deemed offensive and prompts the poster to reconsider. Instagram's also testing an anti-bullying feature called Restrict, which allows users to limit their interactions with those who target them.
Okay. I appreciate the effort. I don't really have much faith.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the effort.
It's going to be hard to control that.
Agreed. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How about this story? A dog missing in Ohio for 4 years has been returned to its owners after it was found 50 miles away from home. Workers at the Clark County Dog Shelter said they picked up Smiley on Saturday as the dog ran loose on the streets of Columbus. UPI says a microchip embedded in the dog indicated its owners were in Springfield, about two counties and 50 miles away. The microchip, an electrical device the size of a grain of rice, is inserted under the loose skin of an animal's neck and can transmit identification and other data, including an owner's contact number. It's unclear how the dog strayed so far from its home. Kat Stewart, manager of the Clark County Dog Shelter, supports microchips, saying if an animal's tag or collar fails, at least there's a backup in place if the dog gets lost. The owners kept the microchip information up to date. Despite Smiley's absence, the dog and owners were reunited within 3 hours of the discovery of the microchip. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.